see me better and hear me better. And okay. Well, this is a short but very interesting passage, huh? Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we pray you'll speak to us through your word as you've spoken to us through the different songs we've sung, through our fellowship together before the service started, and as you will in our fellowship after the service finishes. Thank you for each other. Thank you that we're part of an incredible family, a massive family, across this world, but also across time. Thank you that we worship such a great God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus calms the storm. I think we've all been through a number of storms, haven't we? Various points. And we've heard a lot about some of the storms that the people of Manchester have been going through this past many days, heartbreaking. And yet, if we think about the Middle East and Afghanistan and Libya and some of these places, in a sense, there are far many more people suffering storms of life in those countries. And it's heartbreaking that these things happen, isn't it? That day, when evening came, it's quite interesting, they'd been a busy day. Jesus, over the previous period of time, had been, he'd called his disciples, he'd driven out evil spirits, he'd healed many people, he heals a paralytic, he calls Matthew, the tax collector, to be a disciple. I'm sure that was a big surprise. He's questioned about doing things on the Sabbath day, and shows that he's Lord of the Sabbath also. Questions on fasting. Crowds follow Jesus, appointing his 12 apostles. Jesus casts out demons. Speaks about who are his mothers and brothers. Then he goes on to teach about the sower and about the lamp on the stand, not hiding our light under a bushel, the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed. One little seed that becomes so big that it houses the whole of the peoples of the world, in a sense. That's the picture. And then this. Lots of healings, lots of hard work, lots of teaching. And then when the evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." I don't know if he wanted a rest or what he wanted, but probably it feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? When we've poured ourselves out, and a lot had been poured from him, and he knew when power had gone out from him. When the woman that had the issue of blood touched his robe, he felt virtue go out of him. He felt power go out of him. So all these things were draining from him. And he probably needed to draw aside to be refreshed and refilled, as many times we need to. "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowds behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. I don't know about you, but going to Africa, you know, a lot of preparations, yeah? Sometimes for people to get into a boat and travel on the other side of a big lake, they would feel they'd need to be more prepared. But they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. And later on, he tells his disciples, "Don't go with any extra stuff. Just go with the clothes you stand up in, and don't take any extra cash." So that's the calling. Go by faith. Trust me through it all. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Now, I don't know how many times you've read this story, but I've read it many, many times, heard it many times. Never realized, you know, you read it and you hear it, Don't realize there's a lot of other boats with him. Of course, there would be, wouldn't there? Loads of people are being healed. They want to hear what he's saying. You hear the wisdom. He's followed by thousands. I don't know how many. There must have been a lot of boats, a lot of little boats, because they were all pretty little boats in those days. But Galilee is known to be a lake that incredible storms can arise, just like that. And this is exactly what happened. Taken completely by surprise. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat. What was Jesus doing?
He calmed.
Yeah, before that, what was he doing? Can you imagine? Would that be you?
No.
I don't know if it would be me either. Although Mary does say I drop off like, you know, in the middle of, and nothing wakes me up. It's a problem sometimes. Jesus was asleep on a cushion in the back end of the boat. Here it was, being tossed all over the place, an incredible storm, water coming over the top, almost swamping the boat. And he still didn't wake up. Mind-blowing, huh? The disciples must have thought, what on earth is going on with this guy? Is he completely knocked out? Or doesn't he care? The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, I don't know how you'd have felt in that boat. Here's Jesus. He's done all these miracles that they feel they can't do anything about this storm. They can't call to anyone else about this storm. But maybe he can do something about it. Maybe. Don't you care about this? Why don't you do something? You hear that very much today? Why doesn't God do something? With all this mess that's going on, why doesn't God do something? Seems like he's asleep, but he's not. Because he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He knows all that's going on, and he's heartbroken about it too. He's heartbroken about Manchester, about every person that has been affected by that. He's heartbroken about Syria and Iraq. He's heartbroken about Iran. He's heartbroken about Afghanistan. He's heartbroken about South Sudan. He's heartbroken about North Korea. He's heartbroken about Indonesia and all the horrendous things that are going on in so many countries across the world. He's heartbroken. And he is doing something about it, but not in the way we would normally think. With some people, he is delivering them completely straight away. Others have had their heads cut off. They're going to get an incredible reward in heaven. Says that in Revelation. Probably been hearing something about the horrendous things that happened through Revelation. And at the heart of it, if you listen carefully, God is allowing it. He's not causing it. He's allowing it because people don't seem to be able to see their need of him without those things happening. It's interesting, isn't it? When do we cry out to God? When do people that are completely against God, what happens? They cry out to him. They cry out to the one they don't believe in. But only when significant trouble comes. It's heartbreaking that it needs to come to that, isn't it? Because God doesn't want that either. But out of his great love, he has to allow these things that people hopefully will turn before it's too late. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Of course he cared. And they knew he cared. They knew because they knew how much he loved them. They knew how much he loved other people, how much he'd helped other people. They'd heard a lot of his teaching. But, sometimes in our frustration, sometimes maybe we say to our husband or wife, don't you care? We know they care. We know they love us, but something, we get so upset, we can't stop the words coming out, can we? And hopefully we say sorry afterwards. And I'm sure they were sorry and said they were sorry to him. Keacher, don't you care if we drown? Of course he did. He didn't even need to answer that question. But he did answer it without words, didn't he? What happened? He got up. Didn't care, he wouldn't have got up, would he? He'd gone back to sleep. Because he knew he was safe. He knew he was safe. He knew they were safe, even though they didn't know it. Because when he's in the boat, we're safe. And it's interesting you should choose that song that you've just sung, Within the Veil. Reminds me of that old song, Within the Veil I Now Do Come, into the holy place to look upon his face. I see such beauty there, none other can compare. I worship thee, my Lord, within the veil. He wants us to enter into the most holy place. He wants us to be at peace, be at rest with him, because we can trust him, because not only is he totally trustworthy, but he's all-powerful. And the enemy cannot do anything that he doesn't allow. And he will place the limits. And he allowed this scare for his disciples. Find it hard to understand sometimes, don't we? He allowed that they may trust him more. That they may trust him more. Because when they cried out to him, he answered, didn't he? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Sometimes we suffer great stress, don't we? I've gone through periods of incredible stress in my life. And I'm still learning to be still, to draw aside, to come to him and sit instead of rushing around. It's good to do what God wants us to do, but I think we do an awful lot more than that sometimes, don't we? He wants us in the midst of the activity to be still. He wants us in the midst of the storm to be still, as he was, to know that peace and calm, because he was trusting his Father. He knew he was safe. We know, if we think about it deeply, we know we are safe. Safe. You're safe. Reminds me of a song that my third daughter sang a number of years ago that touched my heart very deeply. Safe in the Father's Hands. Do you know that song? No. Okay, I'll sing it to you then. Safe in the Father's hands. We are safe in the Father's hands. There may be things we don't understand, but we're safe in the Father's hands. There were things they didn't understand. There's things we still don't understand. Is that right? We're just human, really, aren't we? We need him so much. Safe. So many things we'll never learn. No matter how hard we try, though we may feel small, the Maker of all watches with loving eyes. Trusting in God, we can be sure, no matter where life may lead. His promise is told, he's in control, He's everything we need. Sing that first verse with me if you can remember it. Safe in the Father's hands. We are safe in the Father's hands. There may be things we don't understand, but we're safe in the Father's hands. It may be that we suffer storms in all manner of ways. It might be illness. Some scary illnesses, aren't there, that we all know about. They've affected and touched each one of us. Accidents. Death in the family or of a close one. Being attacked. Being bullied. Breaking your house. You're safe. You're safe. There's a song that was taught me and a few other OM leaders many years ago by the man that wrote Calvary Road, that great book of the revival in East Africa, Roy Hessian. And he made us sing it about 10 times. I'm not going to do that to this morning because the time is nearly gone. I'm going to sing you that one as well because it's important. I'm under the blood of Jesus, safe in the shepherd's fold. I'm under the blood of Jesus, safe when the world grows old. Safe when the nations tremble, safe when the stars grow dim. I'm under the blood of Jesus, and I am safe in him. You got that last two words? What were they? Let's say that three times. In him. In him. In him. We're in him. That's the key. We've entered within the veil. We're in Jesus. He said, I am in you and you are in me. And it's not just Jesus, it's the Father and the Spirit too. He said, if you trust me, we will come and live in you. We will come and live in you. Safe. You're safe because he is in you and you are immersed in him. Keep that picture in your mind and bring it back when you're in trouble. Bring it back when you feel stressed. And try and get aside and be still. And know that he is God. Bless you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the experiences of life you allow us to go through, the good ones and the difficult ones, the painful ones, and the ones we really struggle with. And thank you for helping us to understand some of these things. Thank you that one day we'll understand all of them completely. And we'll see as we look back from heaven that we were safe all the way through. Safe. You were calming our storms. Sometimes it took longer than others for us to come to that place where we could really trust you and draw on your peace and rest in you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us, all you will do for us, and all you're doing for your saints across the world today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we finish by singing together number 202? Number 202, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. I think it's this one, is it? Trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, firm and free. Is that the one? Okay. I should have looked there, shouldn't I? Okay.